Welcome back to Keeping Carlson Short Shifts. I'm your host, Ben Burnett. Joining me, as always, your other host, Lewis Ezekiel. Lewis, my friend, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. It's always nice to come on the air the day after the patron saint of the podcast shows some fantasy relevance there for a moment. 2 goals for Erik Karlsson in the Monday night game. Pretty cool.
Yeah, and was it his best ever offensive game?
I mean, it's you know, certainly up there.
Did you see the clip? It sounds like you didn't see the clip.
Oh, well, no, I'm actually behind the times here. I have to admit, I was in full dad mode, and I was dead ass asleep by the time that game was taking place.
Well, the reason I ask is because there's a slightly viral clip going around where somebody asks Karlsson at the post game if that was the best offensive game he's ever played, and he, like, takes a breath, takes a bite out of an apple that he's holding, and then says, not even close.
Oh, that's outstanding. Well, I should have said. God, you were setting me up. I could have been gold.
Yeah, you're in off-season form here, sir. The other thing about Erik Karlsson we haven't talked about, but that our listeners may know a little bit about, is that Elon, on the main show, dropped Erik Karlsson in Tier 1 of the K-Cupful. He was picked up today for $11 in Fab by none of the three of us. Do you buy the Erik Karlsson return? Are you into EK65?
No, I think that the real tragedy of Erik Karlsson in Tier 1 is that for his 2-goal game, which was not even close to his best offensive effort ever, is going to be lost to the fantasy history books because no one's going to collect those points, and then it's going to be back to kind of the same old 30-point pace, I imagine, for the remainder of the season. But I would be very happy to be proven wrong, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly, like, I think he's in a position to do fine. You could see him being Josh Morrissey or whatever, where he goes on these runs where he's super relevant, and then maybe you catch him snoozing with like 6 or 7 or 8 games where he hasn't put up a point for you, and you're like, why am I rostering this guy? Like, it makes sense that he would go on hot streaks, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. You know, I have very fond thoughts because I didn't know much in my first fantasy season, but I knew enough to draft Karlsson. And even though that was the season where he had that horrible Achilles injury, I was able to do so the next year, too, in that pivotal match against Cousin Dave that we were reminiscing about today. So,
all right. Well, Lewis, because we have yet to talk about the Philadelphia Flyers, and we're probably like 3 minutes into the show at this point, I think we're probably getting penalized here for not enough Flyers talk with the way that we've been covering them lately on the show. But we can't really go by them this week again, because they made headlines today when they waived former fantasy darling Shane Gostisbehere from, you know, hot upstart waiver wire pickup 3 weeks ago to on the waiver wire in the Chell. Lewis, do you think that Gostisbehere gets picked up, or you think he hits the taxi squad?
Well, I love that you brought up our constant Flyers talk. They are messy bees who love drama, clearly, with all of these big games with the Rangers. And now, we have Shane Gostisbehere taking the brunt of the blame for some of these major issues. I think he will get picked up. There are plenty of teams that could use a defensive power play specialist who they can shelter, who they can maybe play for 17, 18 minutes a night. I think you were talking to someone about how he wouldn't be a great fit for Florida because that's sort of how they're deploying Keith Yandel. But I think there are plenty of teams that could use someone like that. Now, of course, the cap situation is a whole nother story. Like, do the teams that, you know, need someone for that role, can they actually afford him? But I am waiting with bated breath. I think it'll be very interesting to see how things go. But I am guessing that he is going to get picked up by another team. That would be my prediction.
So this is like kind of the ultimate freezing cold take setup. Like, one of us is about to be very wrong, and we'll find out tomorrow at noon, because I'm fairly confident he either won't get picked up, well, or he is definitely not getting picked up by a team where he'll be in a fantasy, like an interesting fantasy situation. Maybe better than the situation he's in Philly, just because he won't get healthy scratched. But like, I don't think it's a problem necessarily of fitting the cap in this season. It's a matter of the extra 2 years at $4.5 million. If the Flyers were able to offload that contract for a draft pick, they would do so, I think. And they haven't. So that goes to show me that teams are not interested in picking up that contract. You know, like, I would bet you that the Flyers would be willing to hold on to $500,000 or whatever if you gave them a fourth. But the fact, it just to me, we haven't seen any teams claim players with term or money on their contracts. And I think that that's because teams are not going to pick up players with term or money on their contract this year.
All right. So some of those leading indicators being absent, then your feeling is that it's not going to happen. Not in the cards.
That's where I'm at. But I mean, it'll be interesting to see. And obviously we will chat about it on Thursday if that is the case. All right, Lewis, we're hopping in the airplane and we're flying all the way to the Nets in Philadelphia because Carter Hart needs to be talked about. He was benched officially for the Flyers game on Monday, which I have to say was the most demoralizing 3-0 come from behind victory I've ever seen. Like, the team was not happy even after, you know, defeating the listless Buffalo Sabres. You would think you'd see a little celebration. It was just like, this sucks. We played terribly for 60 minutes or like 45 minutes, 50 minutes. The only reason we get a win is because we're against such a terrible team. Elliott was in net that night. Alan Vigneault has already said that Carter Hart is going to take the next couple days to work one-on-one with coaches and won't dress again Wednesday. I got to ask you, is he a drop in all non-dynasty leagues at this point?
Oh, boy. I mean, it's so terrible to say because this is obviously a guy who at least we think has a pretty bright future, but it is just not happening for him this year. I think that he is a drop. I think there's, you know, it's just too difficult to imagine him refining his confidence in such a short period of time. I mean, we're just a couple weeks away from most fantasy hockey playoffs, and you really can't afford to roll the dice with someone who, like you said, is really being scratched officially. I mean, is there a big difference between officially being scratched and being, you know, having Elliott start over him for a number of games? I guess is a debate for the semantics lovers. But the reality is he's been bad when he's been in, and, you know, he's been out when he's not been in. So what is he giving to your fantasy squad? I think you're right. I think you do have to cut him. There's got to be somebody that you can find who can do something better for you, even if you're streaming in a defenseman into that slot. Like, whatever you can do, I think is going to be superior, unfortunately, to putting him out there right now. Maybe he can regain his form, but in a one-year league, no one's going to be jumping into the waiver wire to grab him. And if they are, they are bigger gamblers than I am.
Well, so the thing is that he was, I am the semantic lover, as you know. So I do need to say he was officially scratched. There was a different backup. I do not know who the Flyers' third goalie is, but technically he was up in the press box, not riding pine last night. Yeah, no, I'm with you. Can't be sleeping on Carter Hart at this point. He's blown up your stats every single night. The team doesn't have confidence in him. They're tanking out of the playoffs. They're not going to catch up to Boston, I don't think, at this point. They're going to finish fifth or sixth, depending on how well the Rangers close out the season. Yeah, they aren't going to play. Carter Hart is not going to be the guy you drafted high this season, unfortunately. Let's move into the injuries and outries section. We'll talk about probably the grossest injury I've seen, at least in the last few weeks. Aaron Ekblad out for the season. Fell on his knee really awkwardly. It was horrible to watch. All reports saying that, like, in a quiet arena, it was just like you could hear him. I don't need to get into it. But essentially, I mean, it's really depressing for all of Florida. Of course, I don't want to jinx anything here, but the Panthers are working on an okay game against Detroit tonight. Losing their number one stud defenseman, though, is going to be really tough to replace, obviously. We see now that with Barkov and Hornquist are both out as well. So we're seeing a little power play one boost for Verhaeghe, Vetrano, and Wenberg. I mean, this is a tough look for all of Florida at this point.
Yeah, this is one of those injuries where no one's really going to benefit from the opportunity to step up into a new spot. Not to be cold and overly mathematical looking at this, but, you know, it really is unfortunate for the whole team. He's a guy who just was doing everything and had kind of reached the sort of apotheosis of what we thought he could be back when he was drafted, and he had some scuffles along the way, but it was great to see him really doing it all for Florida. Just terrible to see what happened. Yeah, it's hard to talk about this as anything other than really unfortunate for Florida. Some other interesting things that are going on with what we're seeing in Florida right now. We saw somebody on hockey Twitter, I wish I could remember who, but a few weeks ago, Huberto was seeing really low time on ice for a point per game guy with lots of sub 15 minute games. But he is the guy with Barkov out. We do hope to see Barkov back later this week. So that's good news overall for Florida, I would say, especially for like Bobrovsky owners, people who are hoping to see some more wins and that sort of thing. Brett Connolly and Wennberg, as you mentioned before, are seeing increased minutes until Barkov comes back too. So those are people who are at least seeing a little bit of bump in ice time with Barkov and Ekblad out. I would, you know, there was some hope for maybe we would see Weegar step into that power play one spot. That hasn't happened. Ekblad was his partner. I think overall that's going to be, it's going to hurt Weegar more than it's going to help. Although I saw some people thinking that maybe that would be a boost for him. Getting Barkov back later in the week, obviously, like we said, good for Bobrovsky, but losing Ekblad, very scary. Luckily, they get to play teams like Detroit, so hopefully they can still pull out some wins. And I think they have enough of a lead in their division where they're going to be able to hang in there and still maintain their playoff spot regardless.
Definitely. Doesn't this remind you, though, last year when Carolina lost Dougie Hamilton to a very similar injury, actually, when you think about it? And it's just like, oh, this team who looked like they could be, you know, one of the fun contenders that comes out of nowhere and is just like a great story for us all to follow, and then they just have a horrific injury that it's just sad. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we will finish up the injury section and get into some streaks. You're listening to Short Shifts. Welcome back to Short Shifts, Lewis. We'll run through a couple more injuries real quick here. Vincent Trocheck finally back, did start on line two between Svechnikov and Jesper Fast. And on power play two, Martin Natchez staying on power play one in Carolina. You got to love it. I mean, what do you really say about Natchez at this point that hasn't been said? He looks like the real deal.
Yeah, Natchez is a stud. And I think it's nice to, give him what he deserves. I think he deserves that power play one spot. I don't see why you would take him off it with the success that he's having. And I think Trocheck makes for a fine guy to have on that power play too. And as a line two guy, this is sort of where he made his bread and butter when he was on Florida, was kind of a secondary scoring guy, but who also stuffed your peripherals. I think it's a fine spot. I think it's the right way that it should be divided up here. And getting a chance to play with Svechnikov, I think, is a fine consolation prize for this guy.
I definitely think if he stays on power play two for long, I think that would be a significant kneecapping of his ceiling. I guess my hope would be that he would take Jordan Staal's spot eventually, because Trocheck, he's so elite right now. Like, he's what Patrick Hornquist, he's like Patrick Hornquist, but like with a higher ceiling, points wise, you know what I mean? So I, when he's not on that top power play unit, it definitely kneecaps it for me. So I'm hopeful he'll get back up there.
Yeah, and I do think if he does take that Staal place, that takes Staal from being a really interesting potential waiver wire add to being drop fodder for sure.
Oh, big time. Yeah, I'm with you there. One more injury, outjury situation we'll talk about. First, in Pittsburgh, Jason Zucker is back. We thought that potentially with Evgeny Malkin being out, and I know Brian mentioned this on Sunday's show, that Jason Zucker might pop right back into the top power play. But it looks like they're happy to keep Jared McCann there so far. Lewis, I think you know a little something about Jared McCann.
Well, I don't want to spend the whole show talking about my personal fantasy team, but I have been really enjoying this run. He's been on that first power play, now up to 6 points in his last four games, putting in yeoman's work on that power play unit. Still, he hasn't been over 14 and a half minutes in any of these games, so I think that does make me a little worried. But as long as he's got that top spot, I am into him. I'm holding on to him. I'm going to ride it while I can. And I think if he's still kicking around your waiver wire in any sort of reasonably deep league, I think you should have him, because he really is enjoying this opportunity. You know, this Zucker thing is kind of similar to what we see with Trocheck, is, you know, he's back and he's not quite in the spot where he was before, which makes him interesting, but not especially. And unlike Trocheck, who is capable of really being productive there. I think that Zucker is pretty uninteresting until he manages to grab that top spot, because there's no Evgeny Malkin for him to be wing alongside. As long as that's Evan Rodriguez and not Evgeny Malkin, that's a pretty uninteresting even strength deployment.
Yeah, I mean, even with Malkin, Zucker was kind of a borderline guy in most leagues. When it comes to McCann, I mean, I'm into him right now because he's on that hot streak and he's on power play one, but definitely a little concerning to see him not hit that 14 and a half minute mark in any of the last four games. So, yeah, a little bit. I don't have a lot of faith in Jared McCann sustainably holding on to this spot.
Sure. Yes, this is a run it while it's hot situation. But I will say you only need a few minutes of power play time for him to make his presence felt, at least lately. Another injury out of Pittsburgh is we saw Tristan Jarry fail to return after the first period of Monday night's game. Casey DeSmith went on to play and did allow one goal, but ultimately the win did go to Jarry. After failing to return for that second period, there was no real news in the aftermath, just we heard that it was an upper body injury of some kind. The Pens had a scheduled day off today, and so no real update. We'll probably find out within a few hours after you have listened to this podcast, so keep your ear down. But if he's out, Casey DeSmith has been quite good lately, putting up some very nice numbers in his last few outings. They've been a little bit few and far between as Jarry has, you know, been the clear number one option. How do you feel about DeSmith? You into him if we have, you know, Jarry out for any significant period of time here?
Yeah, I think that earlier in the year, both of these goalies looked to be pretty mediocre. And I was definitely concerned about both the defense and the goaltending quality in Pittsburgh. I'm still not like certain either of them is going to be, a yearly stud. But Jarry obviously is playing well, and DeSmith is clearly playing very, very well. And so I think if we get news that Tristan Jarry is out for the rest of the season, for example, I think DeSmith becomes really interesting. I don't know that that's the sort of news that we're going to get. And even if he is out longer term, we probably won't know right away. So I would say if you're desperate for a goalie, you're probably already sitting on Casey DeSmith. Otherwise, probably just wait for some information before rushing out to grab him and, you know, finding out tomorrow that actually Tristan Jarry might be back on Thursday.
Or Friday. Yeah, I think it's smart to not. Yeah, don't drop somebody that you love for him. Don't spend a bunch of fab. Wait to find out the news for sure. And we'll be sure to update you as soon as we can.
All right, Lewis, let's hop into the streak section of the show. I'm going to let you start us off.
All right. So to start us off is somebody that we've been getting quite a few questions about. This is Braden Schenn in St. Louis. Nothing to show for his last eight games out, 1 or 0 shots in 7 straight games as part of that stretch. We've seen him move into a secondary power play role the past 10 games or so, which is not what we've usually seen from him, certainly not earlier in the season when he was a top 60 player. You know, he's just gone cold over the past 10 or so, but looking at the full season numbers to see if there's anything really wrong, he's on pace basically for 28 goals, 28 assists. He has been a little unlucky on secondary assists, which was something that you pointed out to me looking into that. And I do like to check out those secondary assist numbers just to see where they're at. So this recent stretch is way too low. What do you think moving forward? Do you think this can be a 55, 60 point guy like we sort of hoped he could be at the start of the season? If not, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that honestly, like you would have been hoping for that 65 to 70 range from Braden Schenn. And I'm mainly just concerned because the Blues seem totally content to split everything down the middle deployment-wise. We're also seeing him start a career-low offensive zone starts. I don't know, it just seems like, yeah, 55 to 60 points is kind of who he is. You could see him going hot and getting in the 65 range again, but it kind of looks like we're getting the lesser version of Braden Schenn this season, and I'm a little bit disappointed. He's been so dependable throughout his career. It's probably a tough hold for Schenn owners right now with the huge break between games. I think they last played Sunday, and they're not back till Friday. Tough stretch for folks chasing the playoffs with Braden Schenn on their roster.
Yeah, I think anybody who sold high on his early success is feeling really good about themselves right now. What about a guy in Colorado who's been exciting lately?
So Yunus Donskoy has been lighting it up in Colorado, and even as Cousin Dave mentioned on the stream scheme, getting some power play one looks over Nazem Kadri. 11 points in his last 9 games, still on line 3 at even strength, unfortunately. But playing around 16 or 17 minutes a game lately, and that's really nice. That's a clear second liner in Colorado. I mean, even a guy who we think of as like their go-to offensive option when one of the top guys goes down, Andrei Burakovsky, he typically only plays in the 13 to 15 minute range. So seeing Donskoy get up 16, 17 minutes, that's real nice. Also 3 5-shot games in his last 6. I think this is kind of a run it while it's hot situation, but it's pretty hot right now, and I'm holding Donskoy if I've got him.
Yeah, and just to add on, if Donskoy has already been snapped up in your league, Valery Nichushkin, his line mate, has been on a bit of a nice run lately, so just another guy you could look at, especially in those very deep leagues.
Excellent. All right, folks, we've got one more streak here. Lewis, why don't you take this one?
One more guy we want to take a look at, New York Islanders' Anthony Beauvillier. He's got 5 points in the past 5 games, 4 of those goals coming on just 10 shots. He's got line 2, power play 2 deployment with Nelson and Bailey, so not a bad spot to be. This one strikes me as a bit of a blip on the radar, I think. Beauvillier has not been very exciting this year. I think we hoped maybe he could grab a spot, maybe even next to Barzal, and be quite successful. Hasn't really turned out that way. This to me looks like nice little streak here, but not a guy I'm super interested in running out and picking up.
Yeah, only a 33-point pace on the season. Tough to get overly excited really about any of those non-Barzal, Eberle, Anders Lee fellas over in Long Island.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you there. This is a flash in the pan. Nothing to get too excited about. Just something interesting and of note. But yeah, leave him. Grab Donskoy instead.
All right, Lewis. That's all the time we have. Why don't you sign us out of here?
All right. Well, thanks as always for downloading our show and enjoying it. Please feel free to share with anyone you're willing to give some inside tips to. Give us a follow at ShortShiftsKK. Brian and Elon can be found at Keeping Carlson. Dave Benton of Stream Scheme at NHL Stream Scheme. Please visit and enjoy the great sites where we research our episodes at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, Natural Stat Trick, and Kakupful.com. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. And until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.